This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خدمت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 سنين فما قال لي أف قط ولا لما صنعت ولا ألا صنعت. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء kiram, dear friends and my beloved elders in Islam, the religion Islam gives attention to each and every aspect of a believer's life, from social to personal. Whether it is as personal hygiene, Islam talks about it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach the Sahaba how to use the toilet, how to keep oneself clean. And whether it is as social as interacting on public level, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach that as well. So Islam teaches it all. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam enlightened us, and we get to learn from his life that the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were given priority at his time. That is why we see that in his time and in the time of Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in, the Islamic society was dominated with care and courtesy for each other. They used to care for each other a lot. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught about the rights of Allah and the rights of the creatures of Allah. Forget about the rights of human beings. Forget about the rights of animals. Even the plants, trees, were given top priority. When the Sahaba used to go out in the path of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach them that don't start cutting the trees. Why? Because the tree provides shade and it gives benefit. So don't start cutting. Now this was the condition at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us today. Unfortunately, forget about the rights of trees. Forget about the rights of animals. Even human beings are deprived of their rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Ameen. And that is why I have decided to talk about the rights of women in Islam. The relation of husband and wife. So now, everyone seated here is a husband, or a son, or a father, or he might be a husband tomorrow, inshallah. So now, what are you supposed to do as a husband? And what does Islam say regarding you and regarding that relation of husband and wife? You see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, we all know the story how Allah ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala made a statue of Adam alayhi salam, okay? Statue with a sand. And the statue stayed there for 40 years. And the angels kept looking at it. Every day they would pass by, they would look at the statue, and they would ponder and they would ask Allah. And then Allah would reply to them that this is one of the creation. His name is going to be Adam. So for 40 years, the statue stayed like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put soul in Adam alayhi salam. Okay? Then Adam alayhi salam was left in Jannah to enjoy by himself. Now, even Hawa alayhi salam was created later on. Our mother, we all know Hawa alayhi salam, the wife to Adam alayhi salam, who's our mother. Adam alayhi salam is our father. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create Hawa alayhi salam with Adam alayhi salam? The way Allah ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, why didn't Allah create Hawa alayhi salam together with Adam alayhi salam? The ulama mentioned that when Adam alayhi salam was alone in Jannah And he felt lonely. He felt the loneliness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him wait to understand the value of a woman in a person's life. For us to understand. So Allah ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salam later on. And you know how he created her? Adam alayhi salam was sleeping. And then when he woke up, he found Hawa alayhi salam next to himself. Allah ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salam from the left rib of Adam alayhi salam, left side. The left rib of Adam alayhi salam. When he woke up, he found Hawa alayhi salam next to him. And we all know about Yusuf alayhi salam, that he is the most handsome man in the history. Do we all know that? Yusuf alayhi salam was the most handsome man. Hawa alayhi salam was the most beautiful woman. Hawa alayhi salam was the most beautiful woman. So when he saw her, he became happy. Now the question comes, is it when we do something good, which hand do we use? When we are eating, which hand do we use? Right hand. When we put on a watch, right hand. When we go to the toilet, which hand do we use?
Left.
Yesterday we were seated with Maulana Muaz Saab. Maulana Muaz. And he said that he was taught by one of the other scholar when he was mixing sugar in the tea. He went in the clock way. He was going towards the left side. And someone told him that, no, Maulana, you should be doing it on the right side. Because you are doing something good. You will be drinking that tea. So when we do something good, we use the right side. But now, Allah created Hawa alayhi salam from the left side. What does that mean? She is a disaster. Huh? No. You know what the ulama say? The left rib is close to the heart. So the status of a woman is supposed to be in your heart. That is where a woman is supposed to stay. That is where your wife is supposed to stay. That is where your daughter, your sister, your mother is supposed to stay. Close to your heart. And so that is how Hawa alayhi salam was created. And Adam alayhi salam became happy. The other reason why Allah ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salam later on is because when Adam alayhi salam was created, he was created in front of angels. But Hawa alayhi salam was created separately, not in front of angels. Which shows that a woman is supposed to have modesty in her life. She's supposed to hide herself from everyone. So my brothers, from this story of Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, we learn one thing. That the first relation which was created on the surface of this earth was the relation of husband and wife. There was no father, there was no mother, there was no son. The first relation which was found on the surface of this earth was the relation of husband and wife. And tomorrow when everyone is going to die, the only relation which is going to remain is what? You are going to be in Jannah with your father. You want to stay in Jannah with your sister. With your wife. You are going to be staying with your wife. Every person will be staying with his wife in Jannah separately. So, the world started with the relation of husband and wife. And the world is going to end. And the relation which will stay is the relation of husband and wife. So we understand from this that how sacred. And there is so much virtue in this relation of husband and wife. And to support this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed so many verses in the Holy Quran. And there are so many sayings of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you have to look in Quran, there is a verse which says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. It is from the signs of Allah that He created for you your spouse, your wife, or your husband from amongst you in order for you to achieve love and mercy. Then when you go down, Allah talks that it is from the signs of Allah that Allah created skies. It is from the signs of Allah He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created the trees. But the only relation which comes with وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ is the relation of husband and wife. There is no other relation mentioned in this way in the Holy Quran. That the relation of father and mother is from the signs of Allah. The relation of son and father is from the signs of Allah. Nowhere you will find in the Quran. But But when it comes for the relation of husband and wife, it is from the signs of Allah. And you are supposed to ponder. Then Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. You know what it means? Allah is trying to say, don't you understand this? Don't you understand that it is a relation and it is from the signs of Allah? And my brothers, when it is a sign of Allah and it is a bounty of Allah, when you get married, when a couple gets married, there are certain responsibilities upon you. Responsibility of your in-laws, responsibility of your parents, responsibility of your children, responsibility of your wife. And these people become the first class citizens of your heart. And you are supposed to take care of them. And the greater the bounty, the greater the responsibility. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say here. Today what happens is, that today when a couple gets married, unfortunately, physically they are grown up, but mentally they are immature. And that is where the problem starts. If I don't want to spend time with my family members, if I don't want to spend time with my wife, then why did I bring her into my nikah? If I am ashamed of going out with her in the market, then why did I marry her? Imagine if someone has to do that to your daughter, or to your sister, or to your mother, would you like it? You wouldn't. The answer is simply no. Then how can I do this with someone else's daughter? My brothers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with all his responsibilities, is there anyone here who can say that I have more pain of Ummah than Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had? Is there anyone who claims that? No one can say that. The pain which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for this Ummah, no one had it and no one will have it in the future. Yet he showed to us practically how to stay with the wives. You see, the critics will always raise point and they will raise a finger at the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married 11 women. But they will never tell you why he married 11 women. It was to teach us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married a woman who was younger in age than him. He married a woman who was elderly in age than him. He married a woman from another tribe. He married a woman from the same tribe. He married someone who spoke the same language. He married someone who spoke a different language in order to teach us how to stay with these people. To teach us. And we find it from the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he used to stay with them. You see, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he started giving his teachings to the people around him, the Arab culture was such that they used to be ashamed of expressing their love for their wives. It was like haram to say I love you. The culture was so shy. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated with Sahaba, and a Sahabi asked that, O Prophet of Allah, who do you love the most? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Aisha. Who is Aisha? The wife to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, I love Aisha the most. Everyone was shocked that a leader saying he loves his wife. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach them that yes, they also do have rights. Then, you see, the dose was quite heavy. They couldn't manage to swallow it. So they asked again that, okay, who next? After Aisha, who's more beloved to you? What was the reply of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He didn't say Abu Bakr. He didn't say Abu Bakr. He said Abu Ha, Aisha's father. Still Aisha's name was mentioned there. That I love Aisha's father the most after Aisha. Which again shows his love for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So he taught us, we are supposed to express our love to them. Subhanallah, what a hadith. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated with Hadrat Aisha. And he says to her that, O Aisha, إِنَّهُ لَيُحَوِّنُ عَلَيَّ الْمَوْتِ إِنْ أُرِيتُكِ زَوْجَتِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. O Aisha, dying has become easy for me since I have known that you are going to be my partner in Jannah. What a line. Aisha, since I have known that you are going to be my partner in Jannah, dying has become easy for me. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed that Aisha is going to be your wife in Jannah. So he says to her, but since I have known you are my wife, dying is not an issue. Do we ever say that to our wives? We say that, you know what, you are meeting me in this world, please on the other side stay away. I want to stay with Hur. We say that. Our love is, sometimes our reply is so vague. Like this man who was asked by his wife, how much do you love me? how much do you love me? And the man replies that your status in my life is like that of a SIM card in the phone. You in my life is like a SIM card in the phone. Without a SIM card, a phone is of no use. When you don't have a SIM card in the phone, you can't call someone, you can't interact with someone. So the wife became very happy that, mashallah, my husband loves me so much that he said that I'm like a SIM card in the phone. When she went away, he says to the friend, he whispers in the ear of the friend, that she doesn't know I have a dual phone. I can put two SIM cards inside. And if it's a Chinese phone, you can put four SIM cards inside. That is the kind of love we have. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us practically that no. We are supposed to express our love to them with sincerity. And we are supposed to show it to them. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a journey with Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and all the Sahaba. Now this was not some ordinary journey like out on a trip, holiday vacation. No, they were out in the path of Allah. And Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha lost her necklace. So she complained to the Prophet of Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, started looking for the necklace and commanded all the Sahaba to look for the necklace of his wife. Great Sahabas like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman. And they are all looking for the necklace of the wife of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Time went by. Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And they are still looking for the necklace. Night has come. They didn't find it during the day. How are they going to find it at night? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the Sahaba that we will be spending our night here. Now at that time, the revelation for tayammum was not revealed. At that time, there was only wudu. You know tayammum and wudu, right? When you don't find water, you can use the sand, make wudu, make tayammum, and then you can perform salah. So at that time, there was only wudu. There was no tayammum. Allah Ta'ala didn't reveal any verse regarding that. So now all the Sahaba started getting angry. Why? Because the water was finished and they were in the middle of the jungle and they were worried about their Fajr Salah. So they all went complaining to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, because of your daughter, we are going to miss our Salah now. We can't make wudu, what should we do? Hadrat Abu Bakr became more angry and he goes to the room of Hadrat Aisha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting in the laps of Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now Hadrat Abu Bakr wants to get angry on Aisha, but he can't get angry because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sleeping. So this is what he did. Because of you, we won't be performing salah. So Hadrat Aisha mentions this, that he came and he pointed at me and he was angry. But then subhanallah, Allah ta'ala revealed the verse for tayammum. When there is a situation where you don't find water, so you are supposed to make tayammum, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse. So now all the Sahaba went back to Abu Bakr. They said, Abu Bakr, because of your daughter, we got the bounty of tayammum. So now again they started praising Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. But now what we are trying to talk here is that later on when the necklace was not found, Hazrat Aisha said to the Prophet of Allah, that, O Prophet of Allah, let us move forward. When the camel stood up, the necklace was under the camel. But look at what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did for his wife. Look at the love he showed for them. Upon one occasion, Habshi, someone from Ethiopia, came to show like a circus, a drama. And Hadrat Aisha was young and she wanted to see it. So she said that, O Prophet of Allah, I would like to see this. Now there were a lot of people standing there. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O Aisha, come. You can see it. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and he stood like this. Hadrat Aisha stood behind. At first Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood like this. Hadrat Aisha was leaning here on his shoulder and she was watching. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got tired, so he changed his side and then he leaned this side. Hadrat Aisha was watching from here. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hadrat Aisha, that, oh Aisha, is it enough? Hadrat Aisha said, no, I still want to watch. He said, he still stood there. Now who is this? Is this an ordinary person like me and you? Know? This is the Prophet of Allah doing this for his wife. So this is the love he had for his wives, and we are supposed to show the same love and concern for them, my brothers. Today, unfortunately, being in the line of social media, we have a broadcast list where we take out messages where we interact with people from different places on daily basis, and we receive messages. Wallahi, we have received a message from a lady who said that my husband uses the word divorce as a weapon on me. Every time I don't do something, he wants to say, do this or I'll divorce you. Do this or I'll divorce you. Where is the humanity, my brothers? Is this being a man? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that person has no good in him who has to raise his hand at his wife. He has no khair in him. And my brothers, when we show them love, and when we express our love to them, and when we show affection in the house, we have to understand that there are two outcomes to this. If there is peace in the house, there is love between the couple, the contribution towards the society will be a useful one. How? When there is love between husband and wife, the child is watching. When the child goes out, it will preach peace. But if there is chaos in the house, your contribution towards the society will be a poor one. Because the child is looking at the chaos, hearing the chaos in the house on a daily basis. When he goes out, he will become one of them. And that is how he will understand life. And then our contribution to the society will be a very poor one, my brothers. Very poor one. And when a couple stays with love and muhabba, a society stays with love and muhabba. And there are many issues, which are raised and which are discussed. For example, one of the major issues is that the women complain that men are not praising us. Women are created that way. Once in a while, we should praise them. Even if the food is not tasty, sometimes there will come a point where you will have to say that Alhamdulillah, the food was tasty. But make sure when you do that, the food is from your own house. Because it shouldn't happen like that man who once heard a bayan like this, that you should praise your wife and you should praise the food your wife makes. So he went home, that today I'm going to praise my wife. So the food came. And he said, MashaAllah, the food was so tasty. And the wife started crying. So he got shocked that, what's the reason? Why are you crying? She said that 12 years I have been cooking for you, you never praised my food. Today the food has come from the neighbor's house and you want to praise it. It shouldn't happen like that. Make sure the food is from your own house when you praise the food. So we should praise them, we should compliment them, we should smile at them while we still have these teeth. And when we grow old, smile with the dentures as well, but smile at them. The other issue which we normally get to hear, I don't know about Malawi, but in Zambia, there is this combined family system where the parents and the children are staying together. You see, this system is very beneficial if every member of the family knows Deen and understands Sharia. It is very beneficial, Alhamdulillah. But if a single member doesn't have Deen in him, he doesn't have the knowledge of Sharia, then it's a complete disaster. It's a complete disaster. The husband keeps complaining that, you know what, this is my mother. You should respect her. You should serve her. My brother, you don't know what happens at home when you leave for work. Sometimes that same mother is showing hell in the house to that woman. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that till the age of 7, don't even say the word salah to your child. You have to teach your child about salah after the age of 7. Till the age of 7, don't even utter the word salah. What does that mean? Give that child so much love, that after the age of 7, when you tell him that get ready to be sacrificed for the sake of Allah, he should be ready. Like Hajar alayhi salam presented that child Ismail alayhi salam. But today our mothers are unable to do that because there is so much politics going on in the house that she can't fulfill the responsibility which he's supposed to due to the politics taking place in the house, in the combined family system. So we should try and give them their privacy, try and give them their time. The other issue which we keep hearing is that husbands are not giving time. at late night they want to sit with their friends. There is something wrong if you are giving priority to your friends over your own family members. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu, you will never hear a hadith where you will hear that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat with Hadrat Umar and Hadrat Abu Bakr at 2 o'clock in the night. You will hear that he woke up for tahajjud, then he went with the sahaba to the graveyard or to do something constructive. You will never hear a hadith which says that even after Isha, Nabi sallallahu was chilling with his friends. Never. So we should try and give them time. And when a couple has an argument amongst themselves, they should try and sort it out within the room. They should try and sort it out within the room. Why? What happens today is that the moment the husband brings the complaint forward, or the wife brings the complaint forward to her parents, we start taking sides. The parents of the father, the boy side say that our boy is always right. And the parents from the girl side say that our girl is always right. And if you have to look in the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never interfered in the matters of his daughters. Never, never, ever. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a room with Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and Hadrat Abu Bakr was passing by, and he heard a sound which was like an argument between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And he felt that Hadrat Aisha is raising her voice in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hadrat Abu Bakr went there and he admonished Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he blasted her to such an extent that Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha started crying. What do we learn from this story? That Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu interfered, but it was to rectify his side. It was to rectify. Hadrat Aisha was the daughter to Hadrat Abu Bakr. He didn't start fighting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was to rectify his side. Today, we don't want to interfere in the matters we are supposed to interfere. We clearly know that my son is being oppressive to my daughter-in-law. We won't interfere. We'll say that, no, these are the matters of ladies. They should sort it out amongst themselves. And the matters where we are supposed to not interfere, we'll interfere. What is supposed to be cooked in the house? Who's going to have the key for the pantry? That is where we start interfering. So my brothers, these are the major issues we have to keep in front of us, and we should try and bring the lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my brothers, the solution to all these problems lies in akhlaq. The moment we have good conduct and character in our life, every problem is solved. Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala always used to say, لا تغرنكم تنتنت الرجل بالليل في صلاته. It shouldn't happen. The sobbing of a man who's performing tahajjud at night should not deceive you. It shouldn't deceive you. Why? Inna ar-rajula ar-rajul man adda al-amanata ila man i'tamanahu wa man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Certainly a complete man is he who is trustworthy and who does not harm others. Who is a complete man? Who's trustworthy and who does not harm others. It shouldn't happen that we are busy performing tahajjud salah. We are busy feeding 1,000 people every month, but on the other side our akhlaq is so bad that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to catch us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect one and all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice on whatever has been said. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.